ਗੁਰੂ ਪਿਆਰੇ, ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਧ ਸੰਗਤ ਜੀ, ਗੱਜ ਕੇ ਬੁਲਾਵੋ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ। This week we have been marking the 20th anniversary of Operation Blue Star. But also this week there are many other historical events. And I want to talk briefly, very briefly, only a minute or two each, about two other historical events. Because the tradition of the Khalsa does not start in 1984. It does not start in 1699. It starts in 1469, when Guru Nanak Sahib Ji came to this world. And the tradition of standing up to oppression, fighting for justice, these traditions are not new. These are the very basis of what Sikhi was made on. This week also marks the anniversary of the very first battle in Sikh history. The very first battle when Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, with an army of less than 1,000 Gursikhs, fought off an army of over 10,000 Mughal soldiers in Amritsar. And this battle took place on the field where Khalsa College is now located, in Amritsar. And that battle was odds of 10-1, where the Sikhs had no time for preparation, where they were attacked when they were celebrating or were about to celebrate the marriage of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji's only daughter, Bibi Vido. It's very similar to the battle that Shaheed Baba Janel Singh, General Shabeg Singh, Payam Leek Singh, and others fought 20 years ago. In both those battles, there was one purpose. There was one main driving force, and that was to show the government that Sikhs were independent, that they were free, that they were sovereign, that they would not allow or accept anybody to come into their places and take over their land. And 200 years after Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji's battle, about 150 years, Shaheed Baba Banda Singh Bahadur, who was sent by Tan Tan Sahib Guru Gobind Singh Sahib Ji from Nanded to Punjab to take over Punjab, to rule Punjab in the name of the Khalsa. Shaheed Baba Banda Singh Bahadur proclaimed his sovereignty this week in Sikh history. And when he proclaimed his sovereignty, when he said, we are independent, we are free, he didn't make himself king. He didn't make himself the Raja. He didn't sit on top of the Takht and say, I am now the king of Punjab. The first time in human history somebody took over another country and didn't make themselves king. Instead, he made the Guru Granth Sahib king. And when he issued his coins, which you can still find today, he did not issue them in his own name. He issued them in the name of Baba Nanak and Tan Tan Sahib Guru Gobind Singh Sahib Ji. And he wrote on his coins, Dego, Dego, Fateo, Nusrat Bede Rang, Yafat Az Nanaka, Guru Gobind Singh. That everything that we get in this life, everything that we have, all victory, we get it through doing deg and deg, through doing seva of people, through running langars, through fighting for other people. And the Chardikala this month does not come from us, it comes from Guru Nanak Sahib Ji, Guru Gobind Singh Sahib Ji. It comes from the Gurus. That is what Baba Banda Singh Bahadur wrote on his coins. That is a kingdom that he installed. And it only lasted 3 years before they lost the kingdom, and 2 years after that, Babaji was captured, sent to Delhi, and tortured and killed in the most brutal way possible. But during those few years, he changed the face of Punjab. And that tradition that started with Shaheed Baba Banda Singh Bahadur, that tradition of the Guru Khalsa Panth, Baba Janel Singh fulfilled that tradition in 1984, June 1984, in Amritsar, Punjab. We talk a lot about Operation Blue Star this week, especially. But for a lot of the younger children, they have no understanding of why this happened. Why was the Bar Sahib attacked? Why were the Sikhs attacked? Why would the government of India want to destroy Sikhi? Why would they want to kill so many thousands of innocent people? And there's one very easy and simple reason why the government would want to kill us. And the reason is this. Throughout the history of the Khalsa, throughout its history, since it was formed by Guru Gobind Singh Ji, the Khalsa has never been scared to raise its voice against oppression. If it sees something wrong, if it sees something happening, if it sees any injustice, the Khalsa always stands tall against it. And the government of India saw this firsthand themselves. They saw it firsthand in the first case because the country of India would not be here, would not exist, would not even be a country if it wasn't for the Qurbani of the Sikhs in the 1900s, in the early 1900s. If it wasn't for thousands and thousands of everyday normal Sikhs coming from the cities and from the fens and going out to Morcha day after day and giving arrests, if it wasn't for their activities, if it wasn't for the activities of the old Babe of the Gadar Party, of the Babar Akali Dal, of the old Akali Dal Morcha, if it wasn't for all of their Qurbanis, if it wasn't for all of their sacrifices, there would be no India today. Those people that took over India after partition, they knew that they were only there because the Sikhs had put them there. They understood that it was only the Sikhs who could also take their position away. Nobody else would have that power. People don't realize this today. We don't talk about it. But even though Sikhs fought so bravely, even though they fought so courageously for Indian independence, right after the independence of India, the Deputy Prime Minister of the Indian government sent a letter to all the governors of all the states and told them to be careful of Sikhs because they are a bunch of criminals. Imagine you have fought for 20, 30 years and there were Sikhs that spent 30 years in jail straight, Sikhs like Bhai Sahib Dantir Singh, founder of the Kankirtani Jatha, who spent 30 years in jail. 30 years in jail fighting for Indian independence. And then a letter sent out saying the Sikhs, all Sikhs, are criminals and you should be careful of them. These are the kinds of letters that were sent out. And they made us promises. And you can go on the internet, you can go in books, and you can find the promises made by the leaders of India to the Sikhs. And they made lots of really nice promises. And there was a lot of politics going on then, whether Sikhs should go to Pakistan or India, whether they should form their own country. And all these things are too complicated to get into now. Take too much time to explain. But what we should remember is that Sikhs decided on their own to stay in India, to fight for India, to live in India. And how were we made to feel welcome once we did that? Once we sacrificed so much for them. What gift were we given? What thanks were we given? In the Indian Constitution, Sikhs are not even recognized as a religion. You have Christians, you have Muslims, and you have Hindus. And there is no fourth group. In the Indian Constitution, to this day, Sikhs are not even an independent religion. All around the world, people are talking about Manmohan Singh, the Prime Minister of India, who is the first Sikh Prime Minister. According to the Indian government, he's not the first Sikh Prime Minister, he's just another Hindu Prime Minister. That's the truth of the Indian government. That we are not even a people. We don't even exist. There are no Sikhs in India. According to them, we're all Hindus. Every state in India was promised that we would organize it along language lines. And this is complicated. I know for the younger children, I won't get into too much explanation. But every state, they changed the borders so that every state, only people of one language would live in that state. Every state except for Punjab. Sikhs had to fight for 20 years after getting independence just to get a state that was Punjabi speaking. Just for that little thing. In 1952, Sikhs had to fight. 60,000 Sikhs had to go to jail. Not for Punjabi Subha, not for Punjabi state, but just for the right to say Punjabi Subha Zindabad. Just for the right to say that we want a Punjabi state. It was illegal to even say that you wanted that. It was illegal to even say that you wanted a Punjabi state. Forget about talking about an independent Sikh homeland. And then, until 1968, hundreds and thousands of Sikhs went to jail day after day after day. Week after week, month after month, year after year. Just for the right to have a state where they could speak their own language. All of these things built up over the years until one lady came into power who became Prime Minister of India because her father was the Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi. And she came into power, and after she came into power, everyone knew it, she had cheated her way into power. She had illegally come into power. And now people around the world celebrate Indira Gandhi to say she's the first Prime Minister of a country, female Prime Minister, such an amazing thing, strong female leader. She came illegally. She became illegally the Prime Minister of India. And when the Supreme Court tried to try her on those charges, she declared a national emergency, which means that no people in all of India, that nobody had any civil rights at all. You had no rights as a citizen. In the early 1970s, every single person in India, the government could arrest them, throw them in jail, do whatever they wanted to them without anybody saying anything. And all across India, nobody stood up. All across India, nobody said anything. Nobody spoke up against these things except for one place in all of India, in one place where people spoke up, where people said, this is wrong. This is not a democracy. And that one place was Punjab. And the only people who spoke up against this emergency of Indira Gandhi, the only people that spoke up were the Sikhs. And she knew again that if there's one group that was going to stop her from running the country how she wanted, it was going to be these Sikhs. A long time ago, Panthic leaders sat together and had a conference at Anandapur Sahib. And at this conference, a very educated Sikh historian, Sardar Kapoor Singh, wrote a document which all of the Sikh leaders signed. And they did a das in front of Guru Granth Sahib Ji that they would not stop fighting for this declaration until they died. And that declaration is called the Anandapur Sahib Resolution. And it's very important that all of us learn about this resolution. Because it is that resolution that Shaheed Baba Janel Singh Khalsa fought for. It is that's the resolution that he fought for. That's what he died for. And we forget this now. And if you read over this resolution, written in perfect English, written very intelligently by Sardar Kapoor Singh 30 years ago, 35 years ago, he talks about all these issues that the Sikhs have, religious issues, political issues, economic issues. And I can tell you one thing. Over 3 to 4, some people think over 500,000 Sikhs have been killed since 1984. And in June 1984, 10,000 Sikhs were killed in Darbar Sahib at least. And in November 1984, at least 10,000 Sikhs were killed in the streets of India. Were raped, tortured, slaughtered. Gurdwaras were attacked. Guru Granth Sahibs were burned. Sikh women were widowed. And all of those deaths, out of all of those deaths, out of all of those sacrifices, out of all of those human rights abuses, Sikhs have not won even one of their demands. Even one of those demands from 35 years ago, we haven't even had one of them fulfilled. We haven't even had one of them fulfilled. I realize this was an interesting topic to explain how we got to 1984, and not a very in-depth explanation either. But I think it is important that we understand what happened then and why it happened. And now, for the next half hour, we will talk about what happened in June 1984. Last week, we started talking about the fact that the attack on the Darbar Sahib started on June 1st, 1984. On a regular day, when the Sangat was going to do darshan of the Darbar Sahib, out of nowhere, with no warning, the government fired. And 8 people were killed on the Parikrama, including one young mother and her baby. And the next day, there was no firing. And the Sangat began to think that June 3rd was the Shahidi Purab of Guru Arjan Sahib Ji, one of the most important days in Sikhi. And we should all come to the Darbar Sahib and all celebrate this amazing day. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people came. Thousands of people came to the Darbar Sahib to celebrate this day. And nothing happened on June 2nd. And you can see the government's tactics of why they did this. And on June 3rd, with all the Sangat there, they cut off Punjab completely from the rest of the world. Trains were allowed into Punjab, but they were not allowed outside of Punjab. The last train entered Punjab on June 3rd in the evening, but no train was allowed out June 3rd night. Young Sikh students whose exams were coming up in Delhi, who before their exams wanted to come to the Darbar Sahib and get darshan and do das in front of Guru Arjan Sahib Ji, Guru Hargobind Sahib Ji, that Guru Ji help us in our exams, our school exams, who came for the day and wanted to come back by the evening time to Delhi and wanted to come on Guru Arjan Shaheed Ji but were not allowed to go back. Innocent people who had come from Pins just to do darshan of Guru Granth Sahib Ji and the Darbar Sahib were not allowed to go back. And people say that the army was standing outside of the doors to the Darbar Sahib. The Sangat was allowed to come in, but as the Sangat tried to leave, they were arrested and taken away. So nobody wanted to leave. So if you can imagine, the government purposefully allows all of these people thousands and thousands of people to come into Punjab, to come into the Dar Sahib, and they don't even allow one person to leave. If they had wanted just to arrest Shaheed Baba Janel Singh Khalsa, if they wanted just to kill him and those around him, then there was no need to force all those people to stay there. All those thousands of innocent people. And on that day, June 4th, at 4 a.m. in the morning, as Asa Diwar Kirtan was beginning at the Darbar Sahib, anti-aircraft missiles started to hit the Parikrama. And if you go to the Darbar Sahib today, people sleep at night on the Parikrama in the summertime. A lot of people sleep at night on the Parikrama, or they sleep in the rooms around. And right away these people were blown up. Innocent people. And there was no warning given by the government. You should leave. You should try to get out of the way. They purposefully killed those innocent people who were there only so that they could get up early in the morning and do darshan in the Darbar Sahib. They killed all the thousands of people who were stuck there, who had nowhere else to sleep, because all the rooms had been filled up. And those anti-aircraft missiles, and anti-aircraft missiles are supposed to go very high in the sky to shoot down planes. They were using these to shoot at the Darbar Sahib, and they were launching these from Jallianwala Bagh, where 80 years from today, 60 years ago, from 1984, over 100 Sikhs had been killed, as well as Hindus and Muslims, fighting for Indian independence. In the place that Sikhs died, fighting for Indian independence, they were using that very same place to launch attacks on the Darbar Sahib. That's the place that they used to kill us. And they fired missile after missile. And the Sangat says that they would see big searchlights coming onto the Parikrama. And as soon as the light found something, a missile would come and attack it. A bomb would come and attack it. And the Sangat says that there was no gunfire coming back from the Darbar Sahib. And I want all of us to sit here imagining all the hundreds of pounds of bombs, all the thousands upon thousands of ammunition firing inside, and imagine you are stuck in the Darbar Sahib and it is burning hot. It is over 40 degrees and there is no water, there is no air conditioning, there is no food, there is nowhere to go. And you hear these missiles come. And you can see the pictures of Blue Star Operation of what happened afterwards. And you can see that they did not just shoot at Kala Takht Sahib. They did not just fire on the places where the Singhs had their morcha. They fired at the rest houses where the Sangat was staying. They fired in the buildings where the Sangat was staying. In the rooms where the Sangat was trying to stay safe from all the fire. They purposely shot in those places. And one Sikh who survived the attack says that he went and talked to Baba Janel Singh in Akal Takht Sahib. And he asked Babaji, why aren't you firing back? Why aren't you shooting back? And he says, we have very little ammunition. But once they come here, then we will give them our answer. General Shabeg Singh, who we also talked about last week, is one of the greatest generals in world history, not just in the history of the Sikhs, in world history. He almost single-handedly organized the independence of Bangladesh from Pakistan, and fought and led that campaign for the Indian government. And one day before he was supposed to retire and get a pension from the Indian government, he was fired. And they fired him, they said, for trying to steal an army truck. What a 60-year-old general would want with an army truck is beyond me. But they made up a lie about General Shabag Singh and fired him and took away his pension. And General Shabag Singh was heartbroken. He had spent his entire life fighting for the Indian government. He had even once in Bangladesh cut his hair, and he regretted that till the day he died. He talks about it in the early 1980s about how he regretted so much that he cut his hair that the Guru had given him for the Indian government to do a secret operation. That he put the government even above his Guru. That he made such a great mistake. Such a horrible mistake. And he realized that his whole life he had wasted. And that day he went to Shaheed Baba Janel Singh Khalsa and he gave him his services. The army says that only 80 soldiers were killed and that only 306 were killed in Operation Blue Star. The army also says that they took off their shoes when they entered the Bar Sahib and they didn't shoot at the Bar Sahib. There were 400 bullets just under Bar Sahib alone, bullet holes. Raagi Amrik Singh, who was 60 years old and blind, was killed while doing Asta Diwar Kirtan on June 4th. One of the head Raagis of the Bar Sahib. Guru Granth Sahib that had been there since Maharaja Ranjit Singh's time and is still there, had a bullet hole in it. And the Granthi Singh was killed, who was doing Paash from that Guru Granth Sahib. So that we know that the government lied. And you can find pictures if you want of army camps full of soldiers who were killed or wounded. Hundreds of them. And they tried to storm the Bar Sahib on June 5th. They tried to come in and take it over and attack it. And they were wiped out. They would walk down the stairs and their legs were shot off. And while this is very graphic, some people might not want to talk about it. We should know how great our Sikhs were. How great the Sikhs were. How great the Singhs and the Singhnis were who fought in 1984. That they set up such amazing mortars, such amazing positions, that they killed so many army soldiers who tried to come in and take over the Bar Sahib. That they had built secret tunnels. That they had made special, they had cut holes into the marble around the stairs and set up positions that when the soldiers came in, they would shoot them at their legs and the soldiers wouldn't know where to go. That if they tried to come in through the Sarovar, they tried to come in from helicopters, that they were killed right away. And even though they had such few guns, even though they had such few ammunition, they still managed to defend the Darbar Sahib all that day. But the army was prepared. And last night at the candlelight vigil, one of the speakers talked about how more army was deployed all around Punjab in 1984 than the Indian army ever deployed against Pakistan in any of its wars. That hundreds of thousands of army personnel were posted all around Punjab. That no one was allowed in or out. And we should remember that on June 4th, not only the Bar Sahib was attacked, not only Akal Takht Sahib was attacked, but 38 other historical gurdwaras were also attacked. And 80 other non-historical gurdwaras were also attacked. And Sangat was captured there, tortured, killed. Sangat was pulled out of the gurdwara. The stars were ripped off their heads, their chunnis. And their arms were tied behind their backs. And they were left in the sun for days without any water. They were left in the sun. Not only in the Bar Sahib, all around Punjab. All over the state. We have to remember what happened. On June 6th, thousands of Sikhs, innocent people who felt that they wanted to go and help free Dabar Sahib from the army, that they wanted to fight for Sikhi, started on their own without any planning marching towards Dabar Sahib. Thousands of Sikhs started marching. People don't talk about this very much today. But if you read the internal army bulletins, they talk about how all these people just started coming out of villages and just coming, walking on the street towards Dabar Sahib. And the army with helicopters shot at them or arrested them. And many of them were never seen again. And on top of that, soldiers of the Indian government, Sikh regiments, fought against their own generals, against their own commanding officers, took over their bases, and started marching towards Dabar Sahib to try to free Dabar Sahib from the army that they were a part of. And they were also killed by their own fellow soldiers. All around the world, when the Sanghats found out about what happened, the impact was tremendous. And those of you, and I was very young then, and I have no memories of 1984, but those of you who are older who remember these events should try and remember the spirit that was in the Sanghat that time, the spirit that was in people all around the world. How from everywhere, from Delhi to Malaysia to London to Vancouver to New York, Sikhs went out on the streets and marched and protested against the Indian government. All around the world, people, thousands of Sikhs marched. And I will tell you something, that the number of people who were Amritsari before 1984 and after the Blue Star attack must have went up 1,000% at least. That the example that Baba Janel Singh Khalsa and the other Sikhs gave, fighting so bravely for Sikhi, fighting so bravely, they made 10,000, 20,000 Sikhs for every one of them that died. A lot of our parents who are into Sikhi today, who keep their hair today, only started keeping their hair after 1984 because of that attack. Hitler once said, and he was talking about killing the Jewish people, that the best way to kill somebody is to destroy their religious buildings and then destroy their entire history. That way, even if they can come back, even if a few of them live, they'll have nothing to come back to. They'll have no places of worship. They'll have no old books. They'll have nothing to worship. And Indira Gandhi must have read Adolf Hitler's lessons. Because the Sikh reference library, which was not damaged in the fighting, and Baba Janel Singh had given strict orders to the Sikhs fighting those days not to shoot at the Sikh reference library. Because in the Sikh reference library were things that can never be replaced. 2,500 historical Guru Granth Sahib. 2,500. More than the deaths of those 10,000 people. I think the greatest tragedy was those 2,500 Guru Granth Sahib that were destroyed. Guru Granth Sahib that were written in the Guru's time. One of those historical Guru Granth Sahib was written at the time of Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib Ji. And then, in his own hand, was written by Guru Gobind Singh Ji, adding in the bani of his father after he became Guru. Included in the Sikh reference library were Hukam Namas, written by Guru Arjan Sahib Ji, written by Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, written by Baba Gurditta, the son of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, the father of Guru Har Rai Ji. Hukam Namas to Sanghas, written by Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib Ji, written by Guru Gobind Singh Sahib Ji, written by Mata Sundari. Written by Mata Sahib Kaur. written by Baba Banda Singh Bahadur. Inside the Sikh reference library were documents from the Sarkar e Khalsa of Maharaja Ranjit Singh to the government of France, to the government of England, to the government of Persia, to the government of Russia, to the government of China, showing that Sikhs were an independent state once, that the Sikhs had relations with other countries as an independent people. Inside the reference library were artifacts that the Gurus had touched, that the Gurus had used, pothis that were written by the Gurus. And on June 11th, 1984, sometime between June 8th and June 11th, the Sikh reference library was burned from the inside out. Those 2,500 Guru Granth Sahibs were destroyed. One of those Guru Granth Sahibs was written at the time of Guru Harkrishan Sahib Ji and had on the first page the autograph of Guru Harkrishan Sahib Ji, in which when a Guru Granth Sahib was prepared under a specific Guru, the Guru would write a line of Gurbani showing that they had approved this Guru Granth Sahib, that they had checked it, that there were no mistakes inside of it. We do not have that Guru Granth Sahib anymore. It is destroyed in 1984. Sikhs can be born again. Sikhs can rise up out of the ashes. After the Vadda Kallukara, 30,000 Sikhs were killed, half of the population of our Panth. And 12 years later, Sikhs took over Punjab. While we mourn the deaths of the thousands of Gursikhs who died in 1984, what we should also mourn is the thousands of Guru Granth Sahibs that were destroyed. One of the people inside the Bar Sahib, a young female student who escaped on June 6th with the help of Payam Leek Singh. She talks about how when she went outside on the morning of June 6th, there were little pieces of paper falling from the sky. And she didn't know what they were until she saw that the Akal Takht Sahib had been shot at from only 20-30 feet away by a tank, and that what was raining down on her were pieces of the Guru Granth Sahib from Akal Takht Sahib. And that while she was walking on the marble, she slipped. Because there was so much blood, she could not even walk. And she saw piles of bodies on the Parkarma around the Darbar Sahib. That is what happened 20 years ago today. 20 years ago this week. Thousands of Sikhs were killed. Because we are the only people in this world who have the courage to always stand up for truth and justice. And unlike other people who stand up for themselves, the Khalsa Panth has always stood up for others. That this Indian government that killed so many Sikhs was made by Sikhs who fought and died for its independence. That army used to be a majority of Sikhs who fought and defended India from foreign attack on countless times. Who was it that defended India from Pakistan or from China or from all these other countries? It was the Sikhs in the Indian army. That we gave so much to this country. And what did this country give back to us? People talk about Khalistan and they talk about what we should have, what we deserve. And Guru Gobind Singh Sahib Ji tells us that the Sikhs deserve anything that they desire. And even in 1943, and even earlier in the 1930s, we could have had our independent homeland And it is our mistake that we did not take it then. But we decided to join this Indian country. And maybe we have to think about what it is that we can get out of this country, if anything. And if not, what we should do in the future. The number one thing, the first step that Sikhs have to take today is a step from inside. That every single one of us has to try to be Baba Janel Singh Khalsa. Every single one of us has to try to live up to those standards of those Gursikhs. We have to try our hardest day after day, not just once a year on the anniversary of Blue Star. We have to learn the lessons that he taught us. We have to learn from his example and the example of all those other Sikhs. And they were regular people like you and me. And you will be amazed at the courage that can come up from inside of you once you give your head to the Guru. And I was reading just the other day an interview with the wife of Fighter Shpal Singh, who was one of the top members of the Damdami Taksal Jatha and Baba Janel Singh's personal assistant. And they had a baby just a few weeks. His wife had given birth to a baby just a few weeks before the 84 attack. And she had the baby in her arms when the attack was going on. And she went to go see her husband. And as she was talking to him and the attack was going on, a bullet came through the wall, went through his head, passed through his head and into the head of her baby, and then into her own chest. And she had to see her husband and her baby killed in front of her. And she almost died herself. It is those stories, and you can go find her stories all over the internet as well, and you can read how today, even today, she has never questioned her faith in her Guru. That she still remains fully committed to her Sikhi. That she remains fully committed to this path that her husband and her baby died for. And thousands of Sikhs that day made a choice to fight and die for their Guru. And thousands of others weren't given that choice. They were killed without any warning. I would like, usually when we talk about 1984, we try to end on an upbeat note, talking about the future, talking about our responsibility and what we should do. But I've done that a lot of times and I don't think anything positive comes from it. Because we feel really energized when we leave the VAD or when we leave the march or when we leave the protest and then we go home and after a few days we forget. So all I ask of the Sangat, and I ask of myself, that the Guru give us this kirpa, that we try to change our lives day to day, that we can also live up to those standards that those Gursikhs set for us. And that if there ever comes a time that we are in a position, that we are in a position to defend our institutions, to defend our Gurudwaras, to defend our fellow Sikhs, to defend other people, that we can also live up to the standards that those Sikhs set for us. On a closing note now, I just want the Sangat to remember, and I ask myself to also be able to keep in mind that this week is the anniversary of Guru Hargobind Sahibji's first battle against the Mughals, very first battle in Sikh history. This week is the anniversary of when Shaheed Baba Banda Singh Bahadur declared sovereignty of the Guru Khalsa Panth in Punjab 300 years ago. And this week is the anniversary of the over 10,000 Sikhs who were Shaheed in Operation Blue Star. And all of those Sikhs, and Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji leading those Sikhs 400 years ago, all fought for one thing. They fought for us, for our right to practice our religion. So we have a duty to live up to the sacrifices made for us. For all the mistakes I've made, and I know I've made many mistakes in dates and times and people's names and many other inaccuracies in talking about the history of the Guru Khalsa Panth, I ask the Sangha's forgiveness and the Sangha's blessing that in the future I make, that I try to work on myself and try not to make so many mistakes when speaking from stage. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.